Well, I don't know how many of you know what I've been speaking on. The last twice that I've spoken, which was in this lockdown period, the difficulty of recording something and putting it on the internet, but it's been on the internet. The last twice that I've been speaking, I've been studying the life, the character and the works of Solomon. Don't know how many have listened, but anyway, that's what I've been doing. And it's all on the internet for everyone to listen to or to watch. So recently I've been studying the book of Proverbs, which Solomon wrote most of the book of Proverbs, as you probably well know. And we're going to be looking into that today. Now, I'm going to be quoting quite a lot of single verse proverbs, so no time to turn them up because I'll be actually doing quite a lot. But mainly, obviously, there are a few scriptures which is well worth turning up. So we go to the book of Proverbs to start with, right at the beginning, chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs to start with. Okay, Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Well, that's certainly the beginning of the book. It explains quite a lot, I believe, of what Solomon wants us to look at. I think the main theme is the necessity of gaining wisdom. That's the first thing. I mean, I believe wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in the fear of the Lord, which is the key, I think. So the title of my talk this morning is The Need for Wise Counsel in Life. Now, much of the book of Proverbs is really a comparison between wisdom and folly. He compares the two so that we can know the right way to walk, if you like. One of the commentaries I've got on Proverbs is one from a chap called Warren Worsby. Very good commentaries. And he writes of the book of Proverbs, and I quote what he says. He said, "The book of Proverbs has little to say about the life to come. It focuses on this present life and gives guidance for making wise decisions that help to produce a satisfying life." And that is so important. I think when you look at Proverbs, yes, we don't see end times, we don't see all the prophecies, etc. in there. We don't even mention Jesus Christ. But if you think of it, Jesus is the Word. Jesus instigated the book to be written. Jesus gave Solomon the wisdom so that everything Solomon wrote is from the Lord. And in fact, as you look through the whole book, you know, reading through all the different things, you can see so much of the character of our Lord in there as well, which is incredible. So, anyway, as we read from verse 8, it tells us who Solomon was writing to, because he said, "Hear, my son." You know, we understand that Solomon was writing, obviously, to his son. Now, I don't know how many children Solomon had. I mean, if he'd had all those wives and concubines, 1,000 of them, I would have thought he had quite a few children. But As far as I know, I only know one. Colin might better tell us a bit more. I don't know. Obviously, he had his son Rehoboam, which took over after after Solomon died, took over as king of Israel. Now, one thing I would say that we can look at in this book is that we are all sons and daughters of God. We are all children of God. So everything that Solomon said to his son is applicable to us as well, isn't it? As children of God, which is wonderful. So look at what we're told in Proverbs. A number of things, I'm just going to quote a few Proverbs now. Solomon says in Proverbs 2, the first two verses, "My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding." Proverbs 3:1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments." Proverbs 5:1-2, "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may observe discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge." Proverbs 7:1, "My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you." So Solomon said this to his son Rehoboam. Did he take his father's counsel? All you've got to do is look at, read 2 Chronicles 10 to give you that answer. He completely went away from what Solomon was trying to tell him. What we've got to be careful is we don't do the same. I should be quite honest with you. When I was young, I was a bit of a rebel, and I really didn't listen that much to what my father, who was a believer, was saying to me. So I probably would have made a lot less mistakes in life if I'd listened to my father. Maybe I'd have come to the Lord earlier. Well, the Lord has a plan for each of our lives, doesn't he? But you think of follow Solomon, the wisest man, with everything he wrote, and Rehoboam went completely opposite to that to start with. Crazy. Right, going on. I believe there's certain key verses that help us to unlock this book of Proverbs. And I'm going to go through some of them. Proverbs, we've read one. Proverbs 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate." Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life." Proverbs 10:27, "The fear of the Lord prolongs life." Proverbs 14:26, "The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." 9 things I've quoted there, the fear of the Lord. There's actually 18 throughout the book of Proverbs. Now, as you are all well aware, fear does not mean being frightened or terrified of God. It means reverence and respect for who God is. And it leads to our obedience to his word, if we have that respect and that reverence for God, doesn't it? The first 6 verses that we read here in Proverbs explains why the book of Proverbs was written, and there's a number of key words that we look in those first few verses. What are they? Wisdom, instruction, understanding, prudence, knowledge, discretion, learning, and wise counsel. 8 words, they're repeated over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs. This is what Solomon's trying to bring to everyone's attention. And they really sort of give you a summary, I suppose, those the first five verses, really, they're all in, as to what Solomon's trying to say in about true wisdom, which is what we all need. Now, biblical wisdom, which is the only wisdom I think is correct, begins in a right relationship with God. That's the first thing. I've listed a few things which I think a wise person must believe. One, they must believe that there is a God. Two, that he is the creator and he is the ruler of all things. Three, that there is a divine order within his creation. Four, that there is a moral law operating in this world. And five, there is divine justice. Eventually the wicked are judged and the righteous are rewarded. Eventually. There's probably many, many more aspects of that that you can think of or whatever. But what I want to do now is focus really on a few verses from chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to read the first eight verses of them. Let us see what we can draw out of these verses to enrich our Christian lives. So chapter 3, as we go through the first eight verses. My son, we've read this already. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you will find favour and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Some of those verses, they're classic verses, but I think the whole of that is something we really need to grasp and look at. They're encouraging verses, aren't they? And if we apply these to our daily lives, we will get God's peace, which passes all understanding, as it tells us in Philippians. We need God's wisdom for whatever we do in life. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2, verse 3, that in Christ Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in the Lord. And where can we get those from? His word, this Bible, the Word of God, is everything we need in there to live our lives, the instructions we need as to how we live our lives, and much, much, much more. But you might say, well, I haven't got a lot of wisdom. Well, if you lack wisdom, turn now to James. Just look what it says again. I mean, we all know these things, many times we've read them. What James chapter 1 verse 5 says, that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What a promise that is. If we lack wisdom, we can ask for God, and he'll give it to us on various aspects. Wonderful, isn't it? You know, that's God's promise. You know, what we have to do, let's look at this section that we've just read in Proverbs. And there's six aspects that I've brought out of that that I want us to look at. The key verses to me is verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. First aspect is faith. Through faith, we must trust God's promises given to us in his word. And only true believers are able to do that. Because we know that we belong to Christ, don't we? It's only true believers that are going to be able to trust that word. We know that the life of an unsaved person is motivated and energized by the world, the flesh, and the devil. It tells us that. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read the first three verses. It says, and this is what Paul says, and he's talking to the Christians in Ephesus at this time. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived, in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature's children of wrath, even as the rest are. That is classic. Classic, isn't it? That we were once like everyone out there. The Bible would mean very little to us. We had no faith to trust anything in the Word. That's what it says in Ephesians. And we know that we do know now, as believers, that God's got a plan for each of our lives, don't we? I hope we do. He's got a plan for each of us. You know, you're not your own because we've been purchased by God. That's what it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. We've been bought at our price. We know our Lord Jesus came back to this earth who he created. He took the punishment for our sin, went to that cross, died on that cross, was buried, rose again on the third day, and then ascended into heaven. And we now have a God-man in heaven interceding every day as we pray. We know that. It's one thing. But he has prepared good works for us. You know, he has prepared something for us to do. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So God knew everything about our lives. He prepared everything beforehand. Everything we do, he knows. And he's prepared these good works for us to do. Now, we must believe that God's plan for our lives is the best thing for us, and that our Heavenly Father will reveal his will to us in his time when it is right for us, right time for us. We've often said, haven't we? Trust and obey, there's no other way. This is what we must do. When the Lord reveals what he wants us to do, we must get on and do it. Now, we get the best results for that. So what's the next? We've got to have faith and believe. That's the first thing that it tells us. The second thing is commitment. Commitment. The true Christian life can't be half-hearted. There must be real commitment to the Lord and to what he's asked us to do. Where does he ask us to do it? In his word. What he tells us in his word. Exactly what he does. You know, God wants us to trust him, as these verses we've read in Proverbs said. He wants us to trust him with all our hearts and acknowledge him in everything we do. You know, knowing and doing the will of God, it isn't a spiritual technique that we use occasionally. It's a committed lifestyle, if you like, that involves everything we do in our life. You know, this commitment spelled out in Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read a few verses. Romans chapter 12, just the first two verses. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If we're committed to God, we must be willing to receive his instruction, which is the third thing, instruction. We get instruction from the word, especially from Proverbs. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, or a wise son accepts his father's discipline. That's Proverbs 13:1. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life, says Solomon in Proverbs 4:13. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. Proverbs 9:9. Need all of these. A wise or righteous person will heed godly instruction. That's gained from studying the word, obviously. You know, every word of God is tested or pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. You know, we've got to be careful, because if we deliberately act apart from the instructions of Scripture, it is to rebel against the revealed will of God. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandments will be rewarded. Proverbs 13:13. You know, to ignore the word of God is to deprive ourselves of the guidance we need for making the decisions we take in life. You know, think of it this way. If I won't listen to God's instructions, why should God listen to my petitions? You know, seriously. If we don't obey the word, what's in the word, why should God listen to us? He's given it to us in the word, and I think we all believe this is the literal word. We believe literally everything in the Bible. If it's in the Bible and what it says, we should do. Yes. There's an awful lot of words in there, admittedly, and it's going to take, it takes more than a lifetime to ever get through and get everything out of it. But we must obey what it says to get the best out of life. That's the instruction the Bible gives us, the instruction. Next thing is wise counsel. We need wise counsel in life. Now, the first source of wise counsel is Christian parents. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old, says Proverbs 23:22. You know, it is a real privilege to be raised in a godly home. A real privilege. You know, we don't all realize this until many years later. But I know my father was a believer, and I'm pretty sure my mother was, but I know my father was. And, you know, much of my upbringing, you know, I mean, as a boy, I didn't want to go to church. I was marched down the road to church every Sunday, all in our Sunday best, as you do. And so a lot of it, I rebelled when I was a teenager. I couldn't wait to get away from the town I was living in, this little town in the middle of Essex. Let's get to London, that's where it's, you know, this was it, a rebellious spirit. A lot of us may look at that and say, but godly counsel, if people, when you see children that are brought up in a Christian home that are really obedient, and we've seen a few Christian families, haven't we, that it is a real blessing, and when they go on to stay with the Lord, it is a wonderful blessing. But the Lord's got his hand on each one of us, and I don't think he ever lets any of us go. That's the thing. But anyway, so that's the first wise counsel, is Christian parents. The second source is Christian friends, right? Christian friend that can listen to us, that can counsel us, that can pray for us. This is it. Proverbs says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, but a man's counsel is sweet to his friends. Proverbs 27, verse 9. You know, sometimes not all friendly suggestions are pleasant, are they? Especially if we've sinned or we've gone astray on certain aspects and someone comes up and tells us. It's not always, you know, we can rebel against it, as we've said before. It's not always pleasant. But they're from a true friend we need to listen to. It's done to correct our paths, isn't it? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 27, verse 6. So, you know, how we accept and apply a rebuke from a Christian friend is the test of how devoted we are to truth and wisdom, and how sincere we are at wanting to know God's will for us. You know, it says, he who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Proverbs 15:32. You know, friends that only flatter us, avoid telling us the truth, are only doing us harm. To be honest, we really sometimes need a really loving and patient and discerning counsel from a true believer, a true friend. We sometimes need it. You know, sometimes it's hard, but it's important that we get wise counsel as we walk through our Christian life. Okay, so what next in life? Well, we make plans, don't we? We decide what we're going to do and we make plans. You know, we must never think that in determining the will of God, the believer is passive and only the Lord is active. Now, this is important, I believe. You know, if all we do is exercise faith, commit our ways to the Lord, read the Bible, and counsel with our friends, we may never get much done for the Lord. Now, I'm not saying anything's bad. They're all good. We need good counsel. We need to commit our ways to the Lord. Everything we do, first we should pray to the Lord about it. We need to read the word to get what the Lord wants us to have from his word, to understand it. The more we read, the more we understand it. But that's not it. That's not the only thing. We just do that when we make plans and we say, Lord, this is what I believe you're doing. And we start. You know, in James 2:26, he says, faith without works is dead. So if we just pray and we wait for the Lord to tell us and we're sitting there, we might sit there for an awful long time and not do anything. We must step out in faith. We've talked about faith as the first thing of these five things. Step out in faith. You see, you can't steer a ship if it's stationary, can you? You can only steer a ship if it's moving. And God will do that. We must take action. We must take action with what we do. But hang on, have we just read, do not lean on your own understanding? Well, let me just explain something. That is that the true lean means to rely on. That's what it means. Lean means to rely on. So we don't rely on our own understanding. We've prayed, we take action, and we rely on God. Our faith must be on God's word and not on our own decisions. That's the most important thing. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways acknowledge him. Our decisions we make must be based on knowledge. Where do we get it from? God's word. That's what we must base everything we do on, the knowledge from God's word. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. Proverbs 13:16. You know, folks, God's made us. God's given us a brain, and God expects us to use our own brain, you know, to make the plans that we need in our own lives. But we must submit them to him, as I've said. First, we submit them to him. And let him make the final decision. You know, he will soon stop our plans if they're totally against what God wants. He'll stop them, or he'll change them slightly and direction us in a slightly different way so that we go in the way that he wants us to go. I mean, all of us can probably come to a time when we've made plans to do something, and in the end, we've done something a little bit different, which has been the right way. That's what we're saying here. That's what it says. He will make your path straight. That's the important. If we submit our plans to the Lord, he will make them straight. He will sort out exactly which way he wants us to do. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established, the right ones that you do. So first, commit your plans to the Lord in prayer, as I said. That's number one that we do. Then take action. And as I said before, he'll redirection them if we're not going in the way he wants us to go. You know, it's only when we rebel against the Lord and want to go our own way and do our own things and, you know, we'll do this, that we get into trouble. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. That's Proverbs 21:5. So if we are walking by faith, we won't rush ahead. We won't rush ahead with our plans. Everything, it all comes down to the next thing. Obedience, a word which sometimes it's not nice for us to hear, but obedience is so important. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Do God's will in every area of your life. Seek to honour him in everything you do. That's being obedient. Pride and disobedience to God in any areas of life can get us into real trouble. So we must stay humble. Pride is one of the worst possible traits, human traits. And we've all got it. You know, no one can say I'm not proud. We've all got pride, and that is the worst possible thing. We need to be more humble and try and get rid of the pride that's in us. We've all got it. When pride comes, then comes dishonour. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the falseness of the treacherous will destroy them. That's Proverbs 11:2-3. So important. And the assurance we have these wonderful assurances from the Lord from this passage that we've read in Proverbs, is, you know, if we are obedient, he will make our path straight. We will go in the right way if we're obedient to his word. Let me quote you something. Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, well-known preacher, said, not always in easy or pleasant paths, but always in right paths. Not always in those I would have chosen, but always in paths which lead to success. He said that. That is wonderful. If we only realise that, that is what we need to do. Not always in easy or pleasant paths, but always in right paths. Not always in those I would have chosen, but always in paths that lead to success. Wonderful saying that is. You know, the paths God directs always lead to fulfillment and enrichment, as we strive in obedience to his perfect will for us. That's so important. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. You know, folks, the wisdom of Solomon is worthy of our contemplation. Really is. I must admit, I don't read Proverbs maybe as much as I should, as much as some of the other books. But, you know, there's so many hidden gems in the book of Proverbs that if we search them and apply them to our daily lives, what great things will God accomplish through our obedience to him and our obedience in our Christian lives? We don't know. But if we're obedient to what the word says and don't kick it and don't say, well, yeah, but that might say that, or something else might say, and try and find an excuse not to believe what it's written, that is the problem that we have. We all do that, and the reason we do it is pride, nothing else. And unfortunately, that brings us a lot of problems. So really, if we are obedient and we search his word and we are obedient to him, what wonderful promises. I mean, especially at this time that we're living in. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, have reverence for the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. That's the key. Those verses are wonderful verses for us. We need them, especially at this moment with everything that's going on. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think you know better than the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It says in all your ways, in every single thing we do, acknowledge the Lord. And he will direction us in the right direction if we do just that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We can all do that. We can all think, well, we know this. This is what's going to happen. We know this is going to happen in the country. We know this and we know that. We can all do that. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Have reverence for the Lord. Have reverence for the Lord, it says, and turn away from evil. Wonderful scripture there. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give us so much information in your word. Lord, you've given us the history of the world. You've given us the, not only from creation, you've given us the history of the chosen people, the Jewish nation that you've brought, Lord. You've given us everything. You've told us everything about what you have done for us, the sacrifice you made for us, so that we can be saved. And we thank you, Lord, that we responded to you when you called us. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you have given us so much wisdom and understanding from Solomon in this book of Proverbs, one of the wisdom sections of the Bible. So much wisdom is in that book, Father. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help each one of us to apply the things we read, apply the wisdom that we get there to our daily lives, Heavenly Father. And as you've told us, if we lack wisdom in any circumstance, any situation, if we seek you and pray to you, you will give it to us. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that really for the ability that our brains that you've given us to, the ability that we have to be obedient to you, Father. And I just pray that each one of us, Lord, in this new year will be more obedient to you than we did in the past, Father. And help us, Lord, in every single thing we do to be obedient to your word and to do what you want us to do. And I just pray that you would give us more boldness, Heavenly Father, to reach out to the lost. Because, Lord, without you, they are facing an eternity in pain and darkness. Oh, Father, the things that are explained in the Bible about the lake of fire is horrendous. So, Lord, I just pray that you'd give us the opportunities and that you would soften people's hearts that we talk to, that they will receive you, Father, as their Lord and their Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen.